What you believe,
you're crucified with Christ.
If they think that you're out of your mind for believing what you believe, well, they thought that he was out of his mind for believing what he believes. That's when you're crucified with Christ. Being crucified with Christ means we identify with Christ and the reasons that put him on the cross, the reasons for it. And we, instead of shunning those, we embrace them. They say, oh, you're just like that Jesus. You believe the same things as Jesus. That's right, I believe what Jesus believed. They say, well, you're out of your mind. That's right. You think whatever you want to think, but I'm aligning myself with the crucified Christ. And also, that's how I live the resurrected life. You see, there's no resurrection life unless there's a crucified life first. This is very important, because that then leads to the Holy Spirit-filled life. You see, you can't have the Holy Spirit-filled life without the crucified life, without the resurrection life. The Holy Spirit-filled life comes after that. But some people want to take the shortcut. It doesn't work. There's no shortcut. This is so important, my precious brothers and sisters. I promise you, this is so important for our lives, for the future of our church, for our families. If we understand this and embrace this, everything changes. If we understand this and embrace this, everything changes. That's the truth. I really believe that. I can't tell you in words to the extent I believe it. I believe that in my core. God spoke that to me. So I know that that's truth. You know, when I say things like that, you know, I was... I mentioned about being on the floor in prayer many years ago. I gave a testimony recently about, worshiping the Lord just in my living room. And I was living in London at the time. I was worshiping the Lord. And I was just worshiping him. And I remember the time, you know, they'd offered me a high-paying job. And we were talking, you know, I don't know how long. How many years ago? Wow. It's unbelievable, the years. They fly so quickly, don't they? Almost 30 years ago. 25 years, say. 25 years ago, I suppose. And they offered me this job, and it was a high-paying job, £100,000 a year, which was a lot of money back then. And I said no to the job because I wouldn't have been able to go to the church prayer meeting on the Friday night. So I said no to the job, and I was leading the church prayer meeting. You see, I'd lead the worship there. So it's very important for me to do that. And I wanted to put the Lord first. I knew I should put the Lord first. So I'm in the living room, and I'm worshiping God. And I didn't have much money. I don't think I had much money. I didn't have much money at all. That was that was like a real big pull for me. That was very attractive proposition for me, believe me. But I said no. And I was worshiping the Lord in the living room, just on my own, just worshiping him. And the presence of God fell in the living room. And the presence of God was so heavy that I ended up on my knees. And then I ended up lying down completely prostrate. And then I was, the presence of God was so strong. What I had to do was I begged God to leave. Probably, I don't know if anyone else in here understands that. If you do, just put your hand up. But I begged God to leave. Okay. I begged him to leave. And you, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, I would never do that. You beg God to leave. What does that mean? You've not been there. Please don't judge. You've not been there. Let me tell you, there's a place with God where the fear of God is such
You fear him. And it's terrifying. You can be close to God and he's terrifying. I mean terrifying. And that's when you're in worship. I tell you, these people, when they talk about eternity, when they talk about hell, I tell you what. Oh, this gospel that we're talking about is the most serious thing on planet Earth. We have a bunch of clowns who are leading the country very often. I'm sorry to be so clear. Clowns who think it's so important to shuffle the chairs around the table and say the chair should be in this position, it's not this way, and they spend 45 months arguing where the chairs should be. Listen, we're about the serious business of the kingdom. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ I'm talking about. And I'm telling you this, my precious brothers and sisters, God wants us to take this message on board and run with it. This is the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is the fire of God. When that fire of God is in our bellies, hey, God will use us to change things. Our own families, our own situations, everything changes. And this is what God has got for us. And listen, when God tells us a message like this, you know that it's for us. He speaks to his church the messages that he wants his people to hear. So everyone who's drawn here today is drawn here to hear this message. So you're one of the chosen to be drawn here to hear this message, okay? It's not an accident, these things. God does it for a reason. Because he wants you to hear, because he knows that this message is important for right now. I tell you about that prayer and what happened in that prayer for this reason. That type of experience lets us know the awesomeness of the God who we serve, the utter awesomeness of him, the magnitude of God. The magnitude of God. And when we understand that magnitude of our awesome God, what happens is these details that I'm talking about become much easier to follow. This is much easier to follow when you know God in that way. But you see, what happens is if people have a religious understanding of God, there's lack of the fire! There's no fire, no passion. Instead, when they hear someone with fire and passion, they say, oh, cool down. Please cool down. Oh, you're too loud. Oh, please don't get too loud. I'm telling you, when you get close to God and the reality of this, this is why they call the very essence of Jesus in that Holy Week the passion. It was his passion. I'm not talking about, you know, emotionalism for the sake of emotionalism. It doesn't matter if you're a quiet person. Not everyone is the same. What I'm talking about is what you believe deep within. I'm talking about the depth within, not the superficial surface stuff. Look, it says this. The Apostle Paul then, okay, he considered himself to be crucified with Christ, and that's how Christ can live in him. The key is to set aside, as Paul says, he kills. I've been crucified with Christ. What it means is I killed myself. I killed my desires. I killed them. I chose to kill them. Isn't that a brutal way of looking at it? But you see, we read the text, and the text has been read so often, we neutralize its real meaning. So I've been crucified with Christ. Oh, yes, I've been crucified with Christ. Yeah. Well, what does it mean? I killed myself on the cross with Christ. So no longer I live, but Christ that lives in me. That's what he's saying. It's as stark, it's as brutal as you can imagine. What a wonderful picture Paul gives us, a stunningly brutal but honest picture. He says this in Romans 6:14. It says, sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. So sin doesn't need to have dominion over us. No, we're under grace. And that is the root for freedom. Because under grace, it's not the measure of your obedience that counts. Ultimately, it's the measure of his obedience on the cross and the grace that he then has for us as we live this Christian life. It's a wonderful gospel, this gospel. Paul made a strong decision to leave the old ways of thinking and embrace the new and focus on Jesus and the truth of the gospel, okay? And this gospel being so potent, it demands nothing but a fully enthusiastic response. Listen, Jesus says this in Matthew 10:39. Jesus says, he who finds his life will lose it. And he who loses his life for my sake will find it. For my sake will find it. Jesus puts it in a clear and stark manner. He says this, lose your life. No half measures. It's about losing your life for him. That's how important this is. Jesus teaches us further from the Gospel of Luke. He said this in Luke 9. He says this. I'm going to read from verse 23. He says this. Then he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and is himself destroyed or lost? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. Not to be ashamed of Jesus' words. How serious is it? Jesus teaches how serious it is. He says if we're ashamed of him and his words, he'll be ashamed of us. So don't be apologetic when you believe your Christian beliefs. Don't be apologetic when you hold to those truths that are unpopular in this culture. Don't be apologetic about it. Say it with a defiance, knowing that you're aligning yourself with him. And be strong in that. Let's just look at the points that Jesus has just said there in this scripture. He says, first, deny yourself. So what is self? What's self? I'm going to share with you what self is. I walked around my office this week. I look at an office in the house. And in the office, there's certificates, you know, my bachelor's degree, my master's degree, my doctorate degree, my this, and this, and this, and this thing I got, and this thing. And I looked around, and all of it is really worth nothing. Nothing. It's all really, in the final analysis, now don't feel sorry for me as I say this, okay? Don't say, oh, poor thing. Listen, I'm just being honest with you, okay? You need to be honest with yourself first, okay? So don't pity me. Thank God that I'm able to be honest with myself and hear what he's saying. Insecurity was the root of me wanting those things. My own insecurity. When I break it down, that was the reason. Now, it's not for everyone. I'm not saying that's for everyone. It may not be for you. I'm just talking about me. And insecurities. So I had to get the degree, get the master's degree, go for it, get the thing. Insecurity. A lot of it is insecurity. I'm not saying God doesn't use things. He does. But a lot of it is insecurity. So when you deny self, what do you deny? Well, you can deny your insecurities. Deny them. What are we going to say? You know, you'll stand before Jesus and say, look at all my degrees, Lord. Oh, yeah. Oh. You know, really? Is that... I mean, really, you know? Pathetic. We stand before him and we say, thank you, Lord, for your blood and your grace and your mercy over my life. Thank you, Father God. I have nothing but thanks to give you and praise. I can offer nothing of myself. It's all you, Lord. And I just thank you and I receive you. That's the truth. So when he says deny self, that's part of self. Don't think of ourselves as more than we are. Not to think of ourselves as less than we are either. I'm not talking about going around like a Dickensian Uriah Heep character. Woe is me, poor is me. I'm not talking about that either. I'm just talking about balance. Here's the other thing. Note to self, struggling, people struggle to be known. Have you seen that? A lot of people, they want to be known. They want to be famous. They want to be, you know, they want to be recognized. Or they seek position. You know, they're seeking position all the time. You see the people, some of the politicians and some of the, just the famous people who want to be famous, you know. Or being sensitive. Some of you listening to me preaching right now, you know, you're too sensitive. You need to stop with that sensitivity. I'm being offended so quickly. And taking offense from other people and being prickly and, you know, stop it. Stop it. It's not right. It's not from God. It's wicked. It's all self-orientation. It's not right. Okay? That's part of denying self. Prickly people. Prickly. You know? Grow up. Stop being prickly. Everyone listening this morning, okay? Nice and clear? Good. And then take up your cross. It says take up your cross. How do you take up your cross? Well, like I said, on the cross they mock Jesus. They'll mock you. When you stand up for Jesus, you may be mocked. In a work situation. Very hard in work situations. Easy on a Sunday, but if you're in an office environment or a work situation and someone says, it's not easy. It takes courage. But that's the very place. They despise Jesus, they'll despise you. On the cross, they accused Jesus. They accused him on the cross, remember? They're pointing him and accusing him. Guess what? That people are going to point at you and they're going to accuse you. I have it often happening to me and I'm getting used to it. And I just think to myself, well, this is the script. We're just following the script. This is what happens. It lets me know where they are, lets me know where I am. They accuse you. On the cross, they totally misunderstood Jesus. They're going to totally misunderstand you. Have you ever been nice to someone and you're being kind to someone and they treat you really badly? And you think, don't you realize I'm being nice to you? They're being really badly behaved to you. And you're thinking, don't you realize that's all we've given you is kindness and love? Why would you behave in such a terrible way? It's testimony to where they are. Where they are. Don't be surprised. On the cross, they misunderstood Jesus. They will misunderstand you as well. That's what it means to take up your cross. Are you with me this morning, everyone? It's very important. Basic stuff. I know it's basic. I understand it's basic, but it's very important. Got to get the foundations right. These are foundational truths. And they're very important. Above all, you know, the cross, the take up the cross is obedience to God, living with a high level of obedience to God. So taking up the cross, it means, I'll tell you how it works. It means this, that I say to my family, we're going to pray before meals. We pray before meals. We hold hands and we pray. We hold hands together and we pray. We thank God. And sometimes we go into song. And sometimes if there's things going on in our lives, we'll just get round and we're going to pray together. We're going to lift it up before God. And then we're going to have times of worship where we just worship the Lord together. We just worship Him. And that's taking up the cross, you see. It's saying, I'm going to live in obedience to God. And I know that God has called us to pray, to study the scripture, and to worship Him. And so this is why we have to do these things. And then Jesus, in that verse that we've just read there from Luke 9, you know, He says, the third thing, we're to be dead to the world. You know, we should refuse ourselves to be overly excited by the things of the world. I said to Micah, you know, Micah, I don't need another car in my life. I don't need another car. If I have one, great. I don't need one. I still have watches, all sorts of watches. I don't need one. Don't need them. If I have, okay. But I'm not bothered. Don't need things. The things of the world that get people excited. It's And let me ask you a question on this. How much time did you spend watching TV this week? How much time did you spend watching that Facebook thing? I scrolled through that Facebook thing. I scrolled through this Facebook thing. Every video, there's foul language, people being wicked to each other. It's a horrible thing. I was amazed at they have the shorts. And on YouTube, they have those shorts. There's so many horrible, they're just mean videos. I thought, you listen, if people are watching those all the time, they fill their mind with mean and cruel things. We shouldn't be watching. Let's not watch, you know? I mean, what I'm saying is the measure of a life. I'm not saying you should feel... I'm not trying to put condemnation on people for, you know, but what I'm saying is let's assess how much time we spend in different areas and let's be honest with ourselves. Am I okay to say this morning? Are you okay with me this morning here? Yes. You know, I'm just being honest here. Time is flying by. And I want us to be all that God's called us to be, to do all that God's called us to do. And I know that He's given us this word today. He's given it to you. By the way, I want you to know that this is for you, for your life and for those who you love. Share this with them. Please preach it. Please preach it. Take the notes and preach it, please. How much time do we spend then in things like, prayer, worship, Bible study? I'm encouraging us to really have those productive pursuits. And then Jesus gives us another clue here. He says this. Let's just go to the scripture itself. He says this. And from Luke 9, he says, "Then he said to them all, 'If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily.'" Daily. So this is the daily rhythm of life for the believer. You say, "Well, I don't, you know, this is not the way I live. I don't, you know, it's not my type of thing." No, I know it's not your type of thing to worship, to pray, and to study the word. I know it doesn't come naturally. Of course it doesn't. This is a spiritual life. It has to be cultivated. You have to say, "I am going to do this because I choose to follow Christ." And that's what following Christ looks like. This is how you follow Christ. And so he says, repeat the process daily. A timetable of the Christian life. It's a daily routine, just like eating and drinking. We need this for the Christian life. Oh, my precious brothers and sisters, Jesus is calling us. Jesus is calling us to live this way. He's calling us to spend our time, to spend our lives in this. Let me tell you this. That meeting that I had with the Lord, that one meeting, okay, where I fell and I was prostrate on the ground and the presence of the Lord was so strong. And I came up after that and I was different. If you spent the time to get close to God, what will happen is God will minister to you and he will dramatically mold and change you. But you have to spend time with him. So the Christian walk, this discipleship involves the spending of time with God. We have to spend time with him. Now, the enemy is going to try and get you to spend time on YouTube, spend time on Facebook, spend time playing golf, spend time doing this, spend time with the family, talking to that person on the phone, doing this, doing that. I've got to do this other thing, this thing. Whatever it is, there'll be loads of things flooding into your mind other than that which is really important, which is discipleship to him and spending time in worship, in prayer, and the study of the word. The enemy is busy putting all those other things in the way. But what you have to do is you have to say, "No! I'm not answering the phone. I don't care who it is. I don't care. I'm not answering the phone now because I am doing my discipleship time with the Lord. I'm having this special time with him. I want to have time with him. I'm giving myself time with the Lord." When you spend time with him, then he will change the way we think, everything we do, everything starts to change. Let's do it, church. Let's do it more and more and more. Jesus says this, you know, in the book of John. I read from John 12. He says this, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies," there it is again, look, dies, "it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. He who loves his life will lose it, but he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor." John 12, 24 to 26. It's so powerful. We will produce for the Lord when we die to self. That's when we really start to live and produce God-ordained fruit through our lives. How do you begin this? How do you kickstart this? What you do is this. You say, when you wake up in the morning, I'm just going to read the Bible. I know, I don't feel like it. I'm just going to read it. I don't care how I feel. I don't care how I feel. I'm going to read it. I'm going to read it. I'm going to thank him. Oh, I don't feel like thanking him. I feel tired. I feel this. I'm going to thank him. You start to thank him. You thank him. And then you say to yourself, right, do this again now as the day progresses. And you start to get into a rhythm of thanking him, of praising him, of worshiping him. It starts like that. It's just, it can be just 1 minute. Do you know the Lord is so gracious? He does so much. We only have to give him a little. He does so much with it. Just give him a minute. Try a minute. If that's all you can do is, thank you, Lord. Oh, I'm still waking up. Just do that. 10 seconds, 5 seconds, whatever it is. But just give it to him. And what will happen, I promise, it starts to grow. It will start to grow, and it will start to grow and multiply. The 1 minute will turn to five. It'll multiply. Listen, everything in our church, okay, this building came from prayer. The other building that we had was prayer. You know, it came from prayer. We needed to find, do you remember we needed to find money? £250,000. We had no money. And we didn't panic. We just went to prayer. The prayer in the morning. We just went to pray. And the Lord brought the money in, miraculously. What I'm saying is, everything good in our lives, if you want a life that has good things, the best of God, adventures of faith, you have to pray. You have to spend time with God. That's how this thing works. You just have to spend time with God. And God is saying to Living Faith Church in Oral this morning, spend time with me. Spend time with me. Give me your time in the week. You know, this is the heart of the Lord for our church that I was hearing this week so clearly. I felt it was. So the first step in yielding to the Holy Spirit is dying to self and saying, no, I'm not going for myself. I'm going for God. And as we focus on the life of the Holy Spirit in and through us, this reminds us to keep denying selfish desires that we may have. As we then enter into the true worship, which is part of our daily walk with the Lord, the act of worship that demands a sacrifice. And that sacrifice, you know, will be very often our feelings. I don't feel like it. So what? We don't walk by feelings, we walk by faith. Our faith tells us that we should worship. Faith tells us that we should say, listen, we're in dangerous times. My precious brothers and sisters, we are living in dangerous times. There are terrible things happening on planet Earth. Terrible things are happening. And this is no time for Christians to be messing around with religion and nonsense. We need to be really serious with the things of God, and spending time with him is very important. There's wars taking place. All sorts of things are happening in the world. It's a strange time. And your family and your friends need you to be the best you that you can be. And your church needs you to be the best you that you can be. Okay? And how do we do that? We do that by what I've said this morning, okay? My precious brothers and sisters, let's just go to him, because he's cheering us on. The saints, it says in heaven, are cheering us on, you know. They're saying, come on, come on. The Holy Spirit is saying, it works like this. Macy, come here, lovely. The Holy Spirit says, Macy, come on, Macy, pray, Macy. Come into your bedroom, Macy, pray, Macy. Pray, Macy. Get the Bible open, Macy, and pray. And Macy opens up her Bible and she prays, and the Holy Spirit is leading her and she's reading the word, and it's so sweet. But there's another voice. Remember we said it the other day? The other voice is saying, don't bother with that. Look at that TikTok video. TikTok, 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 TikTok. Yeah? And all those other things, or those, don't bother with that. Relax. Don't worry about it. You know, just take, do it later. Do it. That's the popular one of the enemy. Do it later. Do it in an hour. Just rest now and then do it in an hour. But the wise person says, I'll do it now. I'll do it now. Now, responding to him, opening up the Bible, reading the Bible devotionally. Thank you, Lord, for speaking to me. And then the Lord speaks and ministers. We're in a battle, precious brothers and sisters. It's a battle. It's a fight of our faith. The Bible says, fight the good fight of faith. What does it look like? It looks like that right there. The Bible is open. I know, I see that Bible. May I say, it was so lovely to see it open on her desk in her bedroom. And she, you know, and then that's where the fight takes place throughout the week. It's lovely that we meet on a Sunday like this. It's so important. It's wonderful. I wish there was more people here. I want every seat to be filled. Maybe as we live this way, every seat will be filled. But I know that he's calling us and he's stirring us. He wants us. He wants us to be living this way, this Holy Spirit life, this cross life. So let's just stand, shall we, everyone? Let's just worship him for this life. Let's worship him. Thank you, Lord. We worship you now. Everyone, look, just out of your mouth, please just say thank you to him. Thank him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise you. Praise you. Praise you. We worship you, Lord. We praise you. We honor you. We honor you. Mark, let's just pray that, play that last song that we're going to play, the lovely song about Jesus. And let's just thank him right now. Let's do that right now. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, you're so wonderful. You're so gentle, so pure, and so kind. Oh, we thank you, Lord. We worship you right now, Lord. Respond to us, Father God. Show us, Father. Show us what you want for our lives. Oh, Father, have your way. Oh, Father, turn the temperature of our spiritual lives up, Lord. Oh, Father, let today be the start of something new in our lives. Oh, Father, let today mark the start. Wonderful Jesus. He loves us so much. Oh, he's so wonderful. Let today be the start of something new in our lives, in our church. Thank you, Lord. We worship you. We praise you, Lord. Oh, thank you. Let all ministers. Thank you, Father. Thank you.
What a wonder you are. So pure and so kind, you shine like the morning star.